Welcome, everyone. We have a very nice show for you today. We're going to talk about Power BI, the Data Management Gateway, and the hybrid scenarios for connectivity. My name is Majdi Bedarian. Here's my colleague, Matt Mason, and I believe you might have seen him in some of the sessions. Matt, you want to say hi?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. So just a show of hands, who here was in my session yesterday when I did the overview of Power BI end-to-end? Okay. So for you guys, I'll be showing some of the same stuff I did in the initial phase where I talked about the admin portals, but this session is really meant to go into deeper details about how the backend architecture works and stuff. But some of the demos might look about the same, but we'll go into details about how things actually work, and we welcome lots of questions. This is more of a technical session. We expect questions, so feel free to call things out. If you guys want to even move up now, so you don't have to shout from the back of the room, there's some empty seats up here. We promise we won't throw anything at you.
So quickly to go over the objectives and what we'd like you to achieve at the end of the session. Hopefully we'll get there. We'll give a quick overview of Office 365 and Power BI. What does that mean? We'll dive into the data management gateway, have a deeper explanation of the work, the configuration, the administration, and the purpose for that. And then we'll talk about the IT admin role in Power BI. You know, we talk about self-service information and how Power BI is directed about towards that, but still we need to understand the role of IT and all of that and how it works. We'll give a quick overview of the Power BI admin center and show you how you can enable a consistent way to access your data on-premise and expose it into the cloud in a hybrid scenario. And we'll talk about the Excel book refresh in SharePoint and how that works with Power BI. So quickly, you know, what are we trying to achieve here? Is if we look at trends over the last few years in data, and we understand that the world of data is changing. We have an explosion in the amount of data that's available out there. There's a lot of new data type that's being, you know, spun up every day. If you look at, for example, social data, social sentiment, you know, 6 or 5, 7 years ago, we never talked about that, and now it's becoming a central point in the conversation. And with that data, the explosion of the data, with the amount of data that's available, the consumerization of IT, companies have now edge if they're able to actually mine that data and get the insight that they need from that compared to their competitors. And, you know, there's a quote by Gartner here that says, you know, companies that are able to tap into this information and are able to mine this data are most likely to financially do better than the other ones by at least 20%. So in Microsoft, we're thinking about how can we build a platform for you guys to be able to mine that data, to be able to use this data effectively. And the answer is we want to provide an end-to-end business analytics platform. And if we look at what are the characteristics of this platform, what are we trying to achieve? The first one is like, you know, we want to provide the immersive data. We want you to be able to use the data yourself. We want to expose the data in the organization so not only the IT organization is able to create new reports, generate insight for you, but to be able to self-serve, to be able to collaborate with other information worker in your organization, and, you know, to also connect it to whatever corporate applications that you have in place. And of course, you know, the devices. You know, now we talk about each person have about 4.3 average devices that they use on a daily basis. We want to be able to expose all these features and capabilities on all the devices that you have. And once you immerse with the data, we want to get you to the next level, which is, you know, we don't want you just to use the data that's in your organization. We want to enable you to connect with any source of data globally, right? If you look at, for example, Wikipedia, there's a huge amount of data in Wikipedia that people can take some of this data, connect it with their corporate data, and get more insights into their business. Twitter data, Facebook data that you can connect to and mine it with your corporate data and figure out how you can build insights into your business and how you can achieve better business goals. So the ability to discover the data, to combine that data with external resources, refine it, and then you utilize it within your organization is one of the goals that we're trying to achieve. And when we look at data, we're not just, you know, worried about a SQL server in the back end or an Oracle database that you're trying to connect to. We want you to be able to connect to any source of data, whether it's an existing source of data, non-relational, relational, or analytical. It's a data warehouse that you have in place. You want to be able to expose more insight into that, into the tools that you have. That's something else we're looking at. And the answer for all of this, from our perspective, is Power BI for Office 365. And the thing I want to focus on here is Power BI it works only for Office 365. If you have on-premise SharePoint deployment, that's not going to work. Power BI is targeted towards the cloud. It's a cloud solution. And the idea here is we're seeing a huge trend with our customers. We're converting from on-premise SharePoint deployment, on-premise Exchange to the cloud. Now, almost one of four of our enterprise customers are on Office 365. And almost all our enterprise customers, they use Office. Excel is in every desktop. So for us, we look at the what we stated as a goal as an analytics platform. We look at the tools that we have available to our customers between Office 365 and Excel. If we use that as the basis for Power BI, then we are making it a very low barrier of entry for folks in your organization, whether information worker, IT admins, or even the data stewards in the organization, to be able to create a very scalable insight into the data that you have, something that you can manage easily and that you can trust the source of information in it. When we look at Excel, what are the main characteristics that we're trying to achieve there is? The first one, we talk about discovering the data. And we'll see in the demos and some of the demos that already Matt gave in the last is like, how do you take, for example, Power Query and search for data? You wanna find HR data in your organization that's available, and you just wanna search for it. You don't wanna go to an IT admin and say, do you have an HR data that you can help me connect to, or do you have a report about HR data? I need a report about sales data or so forth. We want you to be able to get to that data just by, doing a simple search like you would go into a browser and go, I wanna Bing for information, search for a term and get back the results. We want you to get to a point where you do the same thing inside of Excel. And once you get the data, we want to make it very easy for you to analyze the data and visualize it. The data, when you get it, is going to be in a raw form. We're going to give you the ability through Power Query to ETL the data, convert the data to whatever form you want, and to be able to take that and visualize it and then share it with everybody else. And that's where the Office 365 component of SharePoint comes in. Sharing the data. Having this data available in a way that you can do, a simple natural language question and answer and get back the results that you want, instead of having to go through a process of development and deployment to get these reports. And of course, to be able to get that through multiple devices. So mobile is definitely part of the story here. Now, the idea for us is we're gonna do a deep dive into the data gateway. And one of the things that we're trying to achieve is how can you extend the Office 365 with hybrid solution. And when we talk about hybrid solution, I mean organizations that have SharePoint online, they have all of their data sources on-premise. They're not, for example, in Windows Azure. Their data is not in the cloud. All your data is still on-premise. All your enterprise insight is still on-premise. And now you go and purchase a cloud solution. That cloud solution is Office 365. And your business intelligence solution is Power BI. Now, how you expose the data? And the answer for that is the data gateway. The data gateway is going to be the connectivity part for you that will enable you to get to that data from the cloud. And as you connect to the data, we will index that data. So we talked about we want you to be able to find the data and find it in a really very easy way. So you connect with the data gateway. The data gateway is going to enable you to index the data. Once you index the data and it's available in what we call your corporate index, you'll be able to search for it and find the data at any point in time. And we also offer telemetry about the data usage. So not only, you find the data, you use it. Now we want to know who's using the data. Is it actually being used? If I expose the set of KPIs through a report that's published through the data gateway to a SharePoint site, how many users are accessing that report? How many users did a search for that? We want to give you the insight in not only your data itself, the BI in your data, but to be able to see how people are using the data and how they're benefiting from it.
I do see people taking pictures of the slides. The slide deck should be up available on the site, so feel free to download it and take pictures of it on your laptop screen. You'll get a much better resolution that way.
Yeah, I find that would work better,
yeah.
So let's do a quick overview of Power BI and the architecture of Power BI. How does it work?
And I will point out, this isn't the actual architecture. We call this conceptual. Underneath this, there's a whole bunch of details and services and teams involved.
Exactly. So this is kind of the high-level architecture. We're not going to go down to the level of the services.
Yeah.
So first, we got Office 365 Power BI, and there's Fairmount components that we think about when you look at it from a user perspective. There's the corporate data catalog. And the corporate data catalog is where an index of all your data is going to be available. So whenever you expose a set of tables, a set of columns inside Power BI, we will index these, and these are going to be available in the corporate data catalog. I talked about the ability to search Wikipedia data. We have a public index that Microsoft manages, and in that public index, we actually go ahead and index all the data in Wikipedia. We index all the data in government, the data.gov. And we provide you the ability to search for that data and retrieve it. If you want census data, you want population by state, and then you want to, you search for population by state, you get us a result of data, you get your sales data by state, you can combine both of them and create a visualization and use Power Map to view it. So there's the public index and then the corporate index that you build yourself after you purchase Power BI. Then we have the Power BI Admin Center. And that's where you actually manage your Power BI instance. You manage the users, the security, the gateways, data sources. We'll see that in a demo shortly once Matt provides us that. But that's another component of it. And then there's the data management portal where you manage your data sources. And there's the other component of Power BI's like Q&A, BI sites, which these resides inside of SharePoint and are extensions of SharePoint there. Now, so that's the components that we talk about. I'm going to talk about the roles. So if you see here, I have the IT admin, data steward, information worker, and author and consumer. Traditionally, in an IT organization, when you talk about the IT admin role, they're responsible for being the gateway keepers for the data. They control the access to the data. They have the security models in place that enables you to figure out who can access what, who has permission, which organization, which unit of the organization you work with. Salespeople only have access to sales data. Finance have access to finance data. And that's the traditional role for the IT admin. And they work usually with, if you have a development organization that generates reports for you, they'll work with the development organization to generate new reports and then expose these to you.
And so one thing I want to call out the IT admin, one of the goals of this solution is to work with customers that also don't have a dedicated IT department, have more of a tactical IT department, or consultants that come in and do the one-time setup. We tried to make even the things that are traditionally really complicated, like accessing on-prem data from the cloud services, we tried to make that as easy as possible, so it doesn't require constant monitoring, constant upkeep.
Okay. So again, IT admin, you control the access to corporate data sources. The IT admin is going to be responsible for deploying the data gateway and configuring the data gateway. So that's a role that the IT admin will still control. In the future, that might change where we get it more open to information workers to be able to do that, but that's coming down the line. And once you publish the data that you have, then as an IT admin, through the gateway, we put it in the corporate catalog. The data steward, and the data steward concept is something that's been evolving over the last few years, where we talk about a person on the organization that have a very deep knowledge of the data of the organization. They're not your IT admin, they're not the SQL admin, they're not the DBA. They're a person who understands the data, who understand if I look at the financial data, I understand what columns and tables I have and how I can extract data from it. And how I can extract that data and publish it to the users in the organization to consume it.
And I was going to ask, how many people here actually have data steward roles as an official role within your company, like that actual title? Or like data scientist or chief data officer, I've seen, stuff like that. Yeah, the focus on data is, especially with the big data and the explosion of data like Majdi was talking about, it's really coming to the forefront.
Yeah. And here we start to see the value of a system like Power BI. We're taking away the ability to, or we were taking away the limitations of having to go always through the IT and the admin organization to get access to the data, and exposing that to the data steward who understand the data. Now they can do whatever they want. They can get the real insight that has always been limited by, do I have access to that data or not? And just a quick note about data. We talked about connecting with the world data, right? So if you have organization, external organizations that you actually purchase data from, whether you're, for example, you're in media or finance and you get, you know, data from externally and you put it in your corporate catalog, that's something that will also, you'll continue to be able to do so. And we're looking into ways into making that easier for you through the system. So data steward, they get the data, they publish different set of queries, and that data can be coming from cloud sources if you have already Azure DBAs, for example, databases, or from your on-premise sources. And then there's the information worker who, if you think about it, they work at the next level. They're, you know, as a data steward, you work across your whole enterprise, your whole organization. And as information worker, you get folks who work in the different units, sales organization, finance organization. And that's another layer of, you know, they'll be able to get the data, they'll be able to author reports and publish them. And then there's the information worker, the consumer, at the lower end, where these are the folks that wants to look at the KPIs, they want to look at the information. So it's, for them, it's more about consumption. And we want to make it easier for them also to find the data they're looking for. So if you think about it logically, the IT admin publishes the data steward takes that, cleans it up, gets some insight into the data. The information worker author provides more insight that's more detailed at the unit level, and then the information worker who wants to utilize that data into their day-to-day job, then they'll be able to get that information. Okay. Now, part of the features that we have in Power BI is this data is changing all the time, so we want to be able to refresh this data at any point in time, and we want that process to be an automatic process. You don't have to worry about, is this report fresh? Does it have the latest data? And part of what you're going to see with the data management gateway is we have the ability and the capability to refresh data automatically. Whether right now we're going to have it scheduled refresh, which means I can set it up to run at midnight every day, or later on we'll see that, you know, we'll hopefully do interactive refresh. Quickly talking about the IT infrastructure for Power BI. So you still have the control over the data. You're still able to govern, secure the access to the data, and make sure that only the right set of people have access to the data. The fact that we're talking about self-serve publishing of information and consumption of information doesn't mean that folks who shouldn't have access to the data will have access to the data, and the IT admin will still be able to provide that role in the organization. And they'll be able to provide a single point to publish that data, the gateway. And in an organization, you can have one-to-end gateways. So you don't necessarily need just one gateway for all of your data sources. You can have multiple of them. And once you configure your gateways, that you'll be able to manage who accesses what, and you'll see what's going on with that data. And you'll still be able to protect all the data sources that you have in your organization. So if you have any security models in place, you'll still be able to have that control level on who accesses what. Now, one of the things that you're going to see is in the data gateway, you kind of have to define the users again that have access, and that's something that we're looking to simplify in the future, but we'll see that as part of the demo. And then through the portals that we provide, and whether inside of the IT admin administration portal or the data steward portal, you'll be able to respond to what's going on in your tenant, KPIs, how people are using it, and so forth. So again, this is the role of the IT admin. They're the enabler of self-service BI. So we're moving from I'm controlling the BI, I'm controlling to the access to the data, that I will enable you to get access to the data, and then you can go to do the work yourself. It's more about, you know, having the right set of function at the right set of people, right? The IT admin doesn't need to understand, you know, what does the links between the different financial tables mean, but they need to control who accesses that financial data. The data steward are able to look at these tables and figure out the business need from that. As you define your data sources, you can, you know, you can get access to single users, you can get access to multiple users, to groups, and you monitor the access of the data, whether it's from the cloud or on-premise. And once you expose your data through the gateway to the cloud, you'll figure out who's accessing it and what they're accessing it. And then the last thing is making this data sources available easily. So as you'll see in the demo, the process of defining a data source, indexing that data source and having it available to user is really very simple. And that makes it, you know, from an IT organization, the overhead is actually simplified. You're looking at your IT organization and you're no longer thinking, you know, in order for me to provide access to the data, I have to build all of this complex backend environment and manage it at the IT unit level in order for my information worker to use it. No, I'll deploy my gateway, and then I'll just manage the data sources in a simplified administration platform.
Great. So the quick intro slide to the next demo that I'll be doing. I'm going to show the Power BI Admin Center, and this is where the main place that the IT admin does all the things that Majdi had mentioned on the previous slide. To get there, we're going to go in through the, there's a link on the O365 admin portal, because those are two separate things. You can be an O365 admin and not be a Power BI admin, and vice versa. I'll quickly go over how you can configure the two roles in Power BI, the admin role and the data stewardship role. I will show how to install the data management gateway and what that looks like. And then I will configure access to those cloud data sources. And this is actually reading the next data, but I'll show you part of this. We're going to expose OData feeds on top of those data sources. So let me switch over to my demo machine. And my session just happened to time out. So here I am logging into my O365 admin portal. So this is my starting point. If you have O365, this looks familiar to you. One thing I want to call out is about the licensing, and that Power BI has its own license that you will be able to assign to your users. So they can start consuming, start doing the data sharing through Power Query, start accessing BI sites, and things like that. When you first install or when you first provision Power BI, the user that does the provisioning, so that's actually purchasing the license, automatically becomes an admin on the Power BI site as well. So that user who did the purchase can then go to the admin dropdown, click Power BI, and go to the Power BI admin portal. Other O365 admins are not automatically added to this role. To add a new user to the role, you go to this role management tab, and you see we have the admin group, and you can click add to add other users. And finally, we have the data steward group. In Power BI, people who are part of this data steward group, this goes back to some of the stuff I showed yesterday with the data sharing, when you share data to the corporate data catalog, you basically get a checkbox. You can certify a data source, right? So like within Microsoft, for example, lots of people can share into the corporate data catalog. Certain users are flagged as data stewards, and they publish the official MS blessed sets, like customer lists or product lists or things like that. And those search results will typically show up first in your list of search results when you're searching. So you know, and there's a little icon that shows that this is a certified, trusted source and not just from somebody sitting down the hall from me. So the first thing I'm going to do is, actually, let me click on this Getting Started tab, too. I mentioned this yesterday, but one of the things I've been most impressed with Office and part of Power BI release is how great the documentation has been. There's a lot of walkthroughs, step-by-step walkthroughs on how to set everything up. All of these links will lead you to detailed details about how to perform all these actions. So if you don't quite remember my steps, you can always come back here. So the first thing we're going to do is set up that gateway. And like Majdi said, you can have multiple gateways within your organization. So for example, we have one gateway that is currently offline for some reason. That might concern me if I didn't know that it was running on somebody else's laptop. And for the sake of this demo, we like it to be offline to show the different status. And I have another gateway running on my desktop machine back in Redmond. I'm going to install a local gateway on my machine here. So I'll click New Gateway. Details I'll provide here are the name, and I can provide a description. And then this checkbox is very important. If you were part of the Power BI preview, and you might have noticed that this option wasn't there. So by default, when you're configuring a data source, you're going to tell Power BI, you're going to give it some default credentials that it can use to actually connect to that data source. Now, Microsoft doesn't want to store your credentials on our own. So by default, if this box is unchecked, all of your credentials are going to be stored on-prem as part of your gateway. Your gateway will do some local encryption, store them encrypted in a local secure credential store on your gateway machine. If you check this box, the credentials still get encrypted, but Microsoft will also store that encrypted blob up in the cloud. Your keys remain on-prem. The certificate you use to actually do the encryption remains on-prem, but Microsoft will keep a cached copy of your encrypted credentials up in the cloud. This lets you restore those credentials on another machine, provided you've backed up that gateway key. So if you want to be able to back up your credentials and restore them on another machine, the process is you enable this checkbox. During gateway configuration, you'll get a key that you want to back up and keep. That is your key. Microsoft doesn't have a copy of that. And then you'll give that key to your gateway when you restore those credentials somewhere else. Worst case, if you lose the key, credentials have to be re-entered. So it's not too bad. Your system can still continue to work. So for this case, let's enable cloud credential storage. I click create. And I get an installation page with a link to download the gateway installer and a key. This key is only used during registration. So after I've installed the gateway, the UI comes up. I'll show that now. Data Management Gateway. And it's going to ask me to enter my key. We use that key to auto-register. So the gateway will then communicate up with the cloud services, figure out the right tenant, and auto-connect itself up to your to the appropriate tenant, appropriate services. So I'll paste that in, click register.
And just a quick note about the key. This is a one-time key, so if you lose it, you have to generate it again. We don't keep that key or store it anywhere for security purposes.
Yeah, and I'll show that here. So once so my gateway is still registering, but I can click on the drop-down, and I can click under key, I can click regenerate. So that the key doesn't really have much significance, like Majdi said. It's just for that initial registration. So because I said I wanted to encrypt my credentials and store them in the cloud, this is where I can generate a certificate or use an existing certificate. I'll most likely want to use an existing certificate, so an officially done one. I can enter a super secret password for my certificate that's being generated. I need to save that. I then specify the endpoints. So the gateway is going to have different endpoints it uses for listening. This you should definitely use, or recommended, you use HTTPS. That way all traffic going to the gateway is going to be encrypted. To enable HTTPS, you'll need a certificate as well, a mutually trusted certificate. I don't have such a certificate, so I'm just going to use HTTP, which is fine for testing purposes. Click Next. It's going to set up the gateway. Now my gateway is basically configured. It's going to run. It's going to register itself in the background for me. As we see now, it's all registered and good to go. One thing you'll notice is that it didn't open up any ports. It didn't ask me to open up any outgoing ports or anything like that. That's one of the key design features of the Data Management Gateway, is that it doesn't poke holes in your firewall so the cloud services can reach down and talk on-prem. It's actually listening to a queue in the cloud, and I'll talk about that on the next couple of slides. Okay, so that is installing the gateway, and now I go back to my management portal, and it's refreshed and shows that my gateway is running. Okay, any questions about the installation process or anything? Yep. I specified an incoming port number on that machine, but I didn't have to poke holes in my outgoing firewall or anything like that to connect up to my cloud services, or specify outgoing ports in my external system coming in. I'll talk about that on the next slide.
We have one more question.
Sure, yes. Question? The question is, can you control a setup of the management gateway with a predefined config file? I don't think so, not currently. I know that's one of the things that they were working on, to automate the installation of the gateway via PowerShell and via an automated setup. Right now, it does require some manual intervention. One of the things expected is you probably won't have hundreds of gateways within your organization. You'll have a handful of gateways, maybe for different departments or different districts or geolocation areas. So I think that's one of the reasons it slipped on our priority list. But yeah, definitely automated installation scenarios is something that's interesting.
Yes.
Question? In terms of the topology, I'll talk about the recommended installation place soon. Last question. Highly available? Currently, no. We have the business continuity. So we have the backup and recovery. If the machine goes down, you can restore credentials somewhere else. High availability is another thing that is coming up soon. One of the features that we'd like to roll out. So you could actually have clusters of gateways, for example, make them highly available.
Now, one thing to keep in the back of your mind here is, because this is a cloud service, you're not going to be waiting for the next release. As features are ready, we're going to be rolling out upgrades to the platform as we go along.
I mentioned that as part of our Power Query talk. Like, we release monthly. I think that actually the teams that own the backend services release weekly, which presents an interesting challenge when you're presenting, because things could suddenly shift around, especially during preview. Buttons would appear or disappear or move around as we were adjusting customer feedback. We're going to be, now that the service is generally available, we'll be more careful about end-user facing things. We can't drastically change a UI, for example, in a weekly update. But yeah, new functionality, new features, it's going to be constantly rolled out. It's one of the one of the exciting things. You're always shipping when you're working in the cloud services role. It's been a, as a developer, it was an interesting shift. So the three core capabilities that the gateway provides. You can enable these corporate data feeds. This is publishing my corporate data sets into the data catalog and making them discoverable. That's the second capability, is enabling discovery within Power Query. And finally, enabling workbook refresh. So my workbooks that have been deployed to my BI site, you can schedule the automated refresh and reach through the data management gateway and connect to your on-prem systems. Okay, so conceptually, again, this is an architecture diagram, but conceptually it looks like this. You have the cloud, Office 365, Power BI, you have the admin center that you're going to use, and it connects to the data management gateway. The data management gateway uses a technology called Service Bus to actually communicate with the cloud services. So basically, the nothing is ever coming in. The data management gateway is listening to a queue in the cloud, basically. It's always reaching out. When the gateway is installed and configured, it only needs, at minimum, it needs an outgoing port 80 or port 443 to reach out to the cloud to talk to the service bus. Like I said, the credentials that you give it are stored online, stored on-prem in a secure store. And then the data management gateway is able to connect to those on-prem data sources. So this is going to be my next demo. I'll talk about exposing the different OData feeds. So currently, you can expose SQL tables and Oracle databases as OData feeds. Through the portal, you're going to point to the data source. It's going to list you all the tables and views. You select which ones that you want to expose. Once you click OK, those get automatically registered within the data catalog. There's going to be a URL on that endpoint. It's going to be a cloud endpoint. Today, from Power Query, you can connect to that endpoint. You get redirected to the on-prem gateway, which actually feeds the data. In the future, we're looking to actually feeding the data from the cloud endpoint, so you can have other web applications that can communicate with that endpoint. But today, the main way to consume those OData feeds is through Power Query. So the idea behind that is the cloud endpoint is discoverable for our system, but to actually consume the data, you don't want to send the data from on-prem up to the cloud and back to your Excel users on-prem using Power Query. So the Power Query user is going to connect directly to the gateway. And that was that port, the one port I opened on the gateway machine, the 8041. That means that when I expose those OData feeds, my Power Query users are able to connect to that. So when it comes to topology, you want your gateway machine to be able to resolve database host names. It has to be on the same DNS, so it knows how to connect to the same database names that are used in the workbooks. And internal users should be able to connect to the port that you're using to serve OData requests. Configuration details. So like I said, the gateway communicates with our cloud service. It only requires outgoing ports. If you read up about Windows Azure Service Bus, it'll give you all the details about how that service actually works. It likes to have these ports open, the 9350 to 9354. It wants those ports open to get the best performance. It can use that range. But if those ports aren't open on your those outgoing ports aren't open on your corporate firewall, then it will fall back to 443 or port 80. Like I said, no incoming ports are required because everything goes through the service bus. When I show registering data sources, I'll show an application. We actually use a ClickOnce application that pops up, and that application talks directly to the gateway and sends your credentials directly to the gateway rather than sending them through the Microsoft Cloud Services. And then if you're serving your OData feeds to the on-prem clients, there's two ports. 8050 is default if you're using HTTPS, and 8051 is for HTTP. Like I said, for the data management gateway to be effective, you need to be able to resolve DNS names for your data sources. So we see this constantly from our field organization that do all their demos on Azure, and they install their gateways on an Azure VM that doesn't have CorpNet access, and they can't figure out why it can't connect to their data sources for refresh and things like that. So yeah, for this to work well, the gateway needs to be able to connect to those database systems. So when you configure these data sources, there's a couple of things that you set. You're going to configure the users and groups that have access to the data endpoints that you're creating. You're going to specify a set of static credentials that are going to be used for accessing the data and for doing refresh. In the future, we'd like to enable a case where if a user tries to connect to the data source, they'll be prompted for credentials. They'll enter their own credentials when doing refresh. The system currently will use a static set of credentials. So you basically do it with a batch account or some low privilege account that's able to access and refresh the data. Data Management Gateway currently supports SQL Server and Oracle as data sources. And has anybody seen the complex data feed functionality? This is a feature. It's not specifically for Power BI. It's actually a SQL Server Integration Services, an SSIS capability. But it's a set of components that's shipped as part of Power BI. You basically are able to download it, and using an SSIS package that can connect to a variety of data sources, you can create a SQL view on top of that package. So as soon as you hit the view, it runs the SSIS package, grabs the data, pushes it back. And because that's essentially just a SQL view, it means you could use an SSIS package literally to connect to any data source that SSIS can connect to and expose that as an OData feed as well. So quick architecture about the corporate OData feeds. So I've created my data source. It creates an endpoint in the cloud service. From Power Query, I do a search where I enter in that URL. I will connect to that cloud endpoint, and then I get redirected to the on-prem data management gateway, which then runs the query, returns the results, and passes the data back to Power Query. Right, so for corporate OData feeds to work, the Power Query clients or your Excel clients are going to connect directly to the data management gateway. And let's show that right now. Okay, so I have my gateway running. I'm going to go to my data sources. I'm going to create a new data source. So there's two options when I create a data source. The top option lets me enable refresh. So if a top option is selected, it means this data source is now refreshable from SharePoint Online if a report uses that data source. The second one lets me enable an OData feed, so create OData feeds for a data source. So there are times, if you're expecting your users to always be connecting directly to the data sources and not using this OData, basically it's an OData proxy, to find the data sources, then you don't need to enable these feeds for this to work.
One thing to keep in the back of your mind here is when we define the data source, we need to define if it's refreshable or not. And that's going to be important when you're in Excel online and you try to set up refresh for the data. That's still controlled by IT, right? So in order for you to refresh your data, you have to still to get the IT to set up that refresh in here. in the future, we're looking about the self-service model. Let's say you have a data source that you control. We want also to enable you to be able to do that refresh without having to go to IT and do it yourself.
Yeah, so Power BI right now requires IT to predefine those data sources and make them available for data refresh, to actually work. And I think I'll show that in my demo after this. So I will name this data source. It's just called Power BI. I select the gateway that I want to be serving that. It's going to be my laptop. I can select my different connection types. In this case, it's SQL Server. And I can either configure via connection string or just enter the raw connection properties. I select my provider. My host name is this. And then my database is Power BI. And once I've configured that, I get this credential button enabled. And clicking the credential button launches this Click Once application. And so like I said, this Click Once application at least looks like Power BI, and it's going to communicate directly with the gateway. So it never sends your credentials through the Microsoft Cloud Services. So I select my credential type. In this case, I'm using Windows Auth to connect to this data source. I will enter in my information. When I click Test, it just, so it's not the Click Once application that's testing, but it's sent the credentials to the gateway, and the gateway is going to do the test itself. Gateway says, yes, I can connect. I click OK, and now the gateway has stored those credentials, and I can proceed. Now, because I said I wanted to expose an OData feed, that's what I get in this view here. It's going to list all the tables and views on that database that I've connected to. You will get to some data sets where the things are grayed out. That's usually, if a data source or a specific table or view is grayed out, is because it doesn't have a unique or primary key. One of the requirements of OData is to have some unique column or some primary key defined so OData knows how to page the data and basically subset it out. So in this case, I can select the tables I want to expose. This is something I did in my demo yesterday as well. So I'm going to expose some of these different data sets. So I have four separate tables. On this page, I can grant access to different users within my organization. I'm using everyone, which means everyone who's authenticated and has a Power BI license, not everyone on the internet. I click Finish, and now my data source is created. And in the background, this is going and publishing everything to the corporate data catalog, your corporate data catalog, and it will start showing up in search results. And I'll show that in a bit.
One thing to keep in your mind here is the username and password that you used in the connection string, that's going to be used to access the data regardless of the user coming in. Right? So we set up everybody has access, but everybody will use the same connection string. One of the feedback that we got is people would like to see pass-through security. Some people has already defined models of security on the tables and the data itself, and they want to honor that. And that's something that we're looking to also provide in the future.
So we do have a limited, this is a recent feature, we have limited Windows authentication support for the OData feeds right now. It's under the Settings tab. For this to work, you need to use Deer Sync to keep your on-prem Active Directory and your Azure Active Directory things in sync. But if you have enabled this, it does enable Windows authentication, the pass-through for these OData feeds. We have other settings that you can control about notifications. So if a new version of the gateway comes out, you have an option to get an email from that. If the gateway is expiring, means you can have it means that there is a newer version of the gateway out, and Power BI is suggesting that you upgrade to the latest. And then finally, if I think you go two versions without upgrading, then it will actually expire the gateway. And there's some other notification settings here as well. On the System Health tab, this lets you basically see logs. You can see an overview of your system. You can search and query for the different events, like we see here, gateways being created, failures, refresh things that have failed, errors that have happened. Everything shows up in this log. Okay, so now I've published those data sets. I'm going to go into Power Query, use the search capabilities to search my organizational data. And if I type in Power BI, I should get back those data sets that I published, the person, the KPI targets, and things like that. So these are the OData feeds that I just created. And if I add to worksheet, I can now connect. So this is going to go connect to that endpoint, that cloud endpoint, redirect to the on-prem, suck the data into Excel, and now my users can continue to do self-service BI and other things on top of it. Okay. So let's, I don't know why that's hanging, but let's go back to the slides. We'll talk a bit about the data refresh stuff. Okay. So within data refresh, I am going to be deploying my workbook to a Power BI site, which is essentially SharePoint Online. And there's a couple of, there's a scheduled refresh functionality that I will show. When you set up a schedule for your workbook, it's going to kick off once a day. And the request is going to flow through our cloud services. The cloud services check to see if that data source is registered. The request comes down to the data management gateway. It will run the actual SQL that was in the workbook or whatever the query statement was from your workbook, and then pass the data back. One of the things the data management gateway does, you'll see it consuming CPU as it's returning a request. The data management gateway is going to chunk up the data. So it reads the request, it chunks up the data, it compresses it, and then will upload the data in parallel streams. It tries to be as efficient as possible. So it can move large amounts of data up during a refresh operation. Or your workbooks in Power BI can be up to 250 megs in size, and that's the compressed size. So it can, yeah, it can compress the data up and send it all the way back through. And finally, it goes back to the workbook. There's some limitations in the current GA release. Like we said, we're constantly releasing. There's more functionality that's being rolled up. So first, not all data sources can be refreshed. And I'll clarify this. You can always open up a workbook in Excel and click refresh, right? This is specifically for if I want to schedule a refresh and have the SharePoint Online services do the refresh for me. That's where these types of limitations come in. So for cloud data sources, we can connect to Windows Azure SQL Database, SQL Server running in an Azure VM, or OData services in the cloud. On-prem, it's all versions of SQL Server, and I think that's most versions of Oracle. And Power Query support is coming very soon. Like Majdi had talked about, it currently uses predefined credentials. So IT, you're expected to configure it with a low privilege read-only account, a batch account, that's able to be used to do this refresh for you. For cloud data sources, you can actually embed the credentials in the connection string. I personally don't recommend that. I see that used a lot, especially connecting to Windows Azure SQL Database. Or you can read the credentials from SharePoint Secure Store. On-prem, all the credentials are configured through the Power BI Admin Center, like I showed in the previous demo. You can read the credentials from SharePoint Secure Store. Yeah, it just that's just like it works on-prem. It works the same way in the cloud.
We have a question.
Yep, question. So the question is, for OData refreshable elements in the cloud, does SharePoint Online List qualify? That is a good question. I originally thought it didn't. I thought this was only for anonymous data sources. But if you go to the Power BI help documentation, it does list SharePoint lists, SharePoint Online lists as a refreshable source. I just saw that right before this session, so I wasn't sure where that lands. If you haven't been able to get it to work, that might be an indication that the docs are wrong in this case. But that's something that, yeah, if you send me an email, I will follow up and figure out the details on that. Any other questions before I go to show the scheduled refresh? Okay. So, scheduled refresh. Okay. So after I've done my self-service BI and I've created my workbook, I'm going to upload it to my Power BI site. And so a Power BI site is just a SharePoint site, has all the functionality of a SharePoint site with a special Power BI application running on top of it that changes the look of things and adds some additional capabilities. click on that Power BI link on the side, but now I have my BI focus site. It shows my nice reports. I have my featured reports up here. I have an option to do Q&A. I have favorite Q&A questions. Then down here, I have my list of my deployed reports. If I want to enable refresh on a report, I click on the ellipses and select the scheduled data refresh option. That's going to give me some options here. I could turn on scheduled refresh. It's going to list my different connections that are part of that workbook. In this case, it's not going to work. It's saying it's using Power Query. Power Query currently isn't a supported data source. Our UI today doesn't do a really good job of telling you whether it's going to work or not. You basically schedule the refresh, and you wait for the error to come back. This has been reported by many users as a not ideal scenario. That's something that actually I was just on a conference call earlier today, seeing how we're fixing that or making that experience a bit better. I'm going to go open up a different workbook that already has Excel Refresh configured. And this one already has Refresh configured, and I have a refresh history. It says up there, it shows what my current settings are, when my next refresh is scheduled to occur, the last update, and who did it. And I have a number of, I can drill into details. So in this case, my refresh succeeded, and it says which connections were able to connect. If I had any sort of error, these would show up as failures. Power BI has a bunch of built-in retry mechanisms. When you schedule a refresh, like this, your options for frequency are currently daily or weekly. You can also click the Refresh Report Now button, and that's going to kick it off. One thing I wanted to point out is that it doesn't immediately run. It's going to basically queue it up for the cloud service to run, and it should kick off, I think, within 5 or 10 minutes. And it also has some built-in retry mechanisms. So if there's a communication error or something failed, it will automatically retry itself for a while before giving up. And yeah, and access, anytime it accesses through the data management gateway, you should be able to go to the IT admin portal and see log messages there or any failures there as well. Who scheduled the refresh to actually do it? Yeah, so in this case, I was actually, for all of these, I did set this up earlier, I was clicking refresh now, so it's telling me it was me who actually triggered the refresh versus the automated scheduled refresh. Any other questions about scheduled refresh? Yep. Currently, Power Query is not supported for the scheduled refresh. To refresh a Power Query workbook, you open it up in Excel and click refresh, and then save it back to SharePoint Online.
That's coming shortly.
Yeah, that's something that we've been working on and should appear very, very shortly. Okay, any other questions? Okay. So let's go back to this and basically summarize, and then we'll be available for questions. So we talked about the three main capabilities for the gateway. So it's enabling the corporate OData feeds, enabling discovery of those data sources within Power Query, and enabling Excel refresh, so enabling the data refresh. Not everyone will want to do the OData feeds approach. If your users already know where to find their data sources, you don't necessarily need to expose all those OData feeds. Users can connect directly to those data sources in Power Query and still share out direct connections rather than sharing out the OData. What I do like about the OData approach is that it allows IT to bulk register a set of data sources that users can find. It gives you users an initial way to be able to connect to those things. Yep. Great question. So earlier today, I talked about Power Query and how folding works. So you design things in Power Query, and it folds the commands back to the backend data source. The corporate OData feeds support a limited form of folding. It supports some of the OData syntax. It's not full OData syntax, but it does support some forms of folding, filters and things like that. Yeah. Question? Is there a performance penalty for using OData? Yes, there is when you compare it to native, like a native database connectivity, because you are going through an additional serialization layer. By default, we use JSON Lite or JSON with minimal metadata. So it's actually a pretty compressed form of OData versus the Atom format or even the JSON heavy format. So it's the overhead is less. But there's definitely overhead in connecting to OData versus going directly to the data source. That's why I like to point out that this feature is optional. It's more of a convenience. Not all customers will want to do this, definitely not for all of their data sources. All right. Question? The question is, are there any plans for row-level security at what access? At the OData feed level? I'm not sure about the OData feed. Actually, yeah, that's a really good question. I'm not sure what the plans are for that. But I think that comes down to the identity pass-through, basically, to, When you're questioning, would you expect the OData service to implement that security or basically pass through an identity for the back-end service to do the actual? Could be both. So that's, I know I've heard that discussed. I don't know where that falls on our roadmap.
It's under discussion, but we haven't decided which way it's going to go so far. Now, a quick show of hand. How many of you have Office 365?
Okay, so okay. Almost everyone in the room.
How many have used the trial for Power BI?
About half.
Okay. If you go to powerbi.com, you can get a 30-day license. So, download that and play with it. I think it's very good.
Okay, so like I said, this deck's going to be available. There's a bunch of intro content. Like I said, the Office docs have been fantastic so far for walkthrough guides, setup videos, and demonstration videos. And we have our eval slides, but before we get to this, we still have some time left. If there's any additional questions we want to talk about. Walk through the use of the secure store. I'm not set up to do that right now. But there's actually a page. I don't know if we link to it in here. But if you look at SharePoint Online Business Connectivity Services, it will show you how to go in and configure secure store, adding your basic steps are you go to SharePoint Online, you configure the credentials and get the application ID. Within your Excel workbook, on the data source settings, you'll say, use this Excel services ID, you paste in the ID there, save your workbook, and then when you do a refresh, it will automatically know to use that application ID for that refresh. Yeah. So the question is about scaling out the gateway. Today there's no built-in scale-out story, but that's one of the things that I know is on our short-term roadmap, is to be able to provide groups of gateways that can run together, for scale and for load balancing and for high availability. Yeah. Question there? So the question is there a way to auto-discover gateways? That was actually one of the original features that was built into the product. There was a on-prem crawler feature that would go and crawl your network and automatically start indexing. That feature ended up being postponed. I don't know where it lands on the roadmap. From my point of view, and this is just my point of view, it's you end up with a lot more than you expected when you start doing that, and it sort of floods your data catalog with data sources you might not want to be exposing or don't need to be exposed directly. I know it's a scenario that we've been looking at, and the initial implementation was basically you give it a range of IP addresses, and it's going to find your SQL servers on those IPs, and it led to a lot of noise. It's a feature that was considered. How did you... So currently, if there's a query published in the catalog, there's two different ways. If it was published through the admin center, you delete the data source or change the data source settings, like unchecking the OData feed, and that will delete it from the catalog. If it's a query that has been published by a data steward through Power Query, the owner of the query needs to go and delete it. So from Power Query, you click shared, you see all your shared queries, and you delete the query. There's a question back here. So the question is, does the on-prem gateway require a separate server? It depends on what else it's running. I think most of the topology, as I've seen, is either co-located with the SQL server that they expect is going to be serving requests. If there's multiple databases, maybe you'd have it on another machine. The gateway itself isn't that demanding, but it depends on the load that is going through, how many concurrent refreshes you have going on, how many workbooks are being served, is it serving OData feeds? So one of the ways you can load balance now is by load balancing by database. So you have some data sources assigned to certain gateways, other data sources assigned to others. That's about the best, I can say right now. Question? So the question is about the catalog. Is the catalog created across? Yeah, so the data catalog is actually hosted in the cloud as part of the cloud services. So this, your tenant is part of Power BI. You're going to have a single corporate data catalog that spans all your gateways and everything across your organization. Anything else? Nope. I think that's it. We ended a little early today. We'll be up here to answer questions if you guys are interested as well. But thank you for coming out.
Yeah, thank you.